Who's the best soccer player in Zambia?
Imani mulayo mutunda mwa Zambia. Mulayo wa mbola ya mahutu ya vana.
Huh? Who's the hero?
Kibomani wa telezanga.
Don't you know?
Collins Mbesuma.
Colin?
Yes, Collins Mbesuma.
Mbesuma?
Yes.
Now say Mbesuma comes and he plays, and Zambia plays against Bafana Bafana. And Mbesuma comes and he kicks a goal. On the scoreboard, what does it say? Does it say Kulesuma 1, South Africa 0? Or does it say Zambia 1, South Africa 0?
Zambia 1, South Africa 0.
Huh? What does it say?
Zambia 1.
Yes. So even if he kicks the goal, that goal is not his goal. It is not just the goal of the team. It's the goal of the nation. Amen. Because he is representing you. Hallelujah. So that's what West Vessel was talking about. You know, if the government comes and they are looking for goals here at your house, they are wasting their time. Because even if you kick a goal here at home, that goal means nothing against Bafana Bafana. Even if you've got good works here, that good works does not make you holy. There was somebody that represented me and you. His name was Jesus Christ. When he kicked the goal, when he obeyed, he obeyed on behalf of the human race. He obeyed on your behalf. When he kicked the goal, when he was raised from the dead, life is written to your name. When Jesus was declared holy, holiness came as a free gift to all of us. So we don't have to try to work up our own holiness. We are at rest in the holiness of God. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not the gospel of Bertie or the gospel of Ruth, or the gospel of yourself. It's the gospel of what God has invested in you. What God invested in you was the very life of God. We don't want to come to you with beggarly, poor, rubbish laws. Telling you by these rules you can become holy. For no law can ever save you. Your good work cannot save you. The only thing that can save you was Jesus Christ. That's why we don't put our money and our preaching towards preaching rules and condemnation. There are many missionaries and pastors. Traveling over the whole world. Putting great investment in trying to alter people's behavior. No! They are wasting their time. If change in your life does not come effortlessly, it is not of God. The only change that is a lasting change is a change that comes without effort. It's a change that comes because of the seed that was in your heart, like Vessel explained. When the word of God goes in your heart, it will bear fruit. It's not you bearing the fruit. It is the word bearing fruit. But the problem in the church today, they have the wrong word. They have the word of condemnation and not the word of the cross. If I go to a pastor's meeting today in Lusaka with 400 pastors, and I ask those pastors, tell me, what is the gospel? I can give you a guarantee. In those 500 pastors, if there is three of them that know what the gospel is, it's a miracle. I tell you, because what people have been taught in Bible schools, it is how to teach people to live right. They have not been taught what investment God made in man. They have not been taught how valuable people are because of the price Jesus paid. They have not been taught that people are holy because of the holiness of God. When God became man, man became godly. When Adam sinned, you became a sinner. Amen. It was the sin of one man that made you a sinner. So why, if one man could make you a sinner, if the disobedience of Adam made you a sinner, why cannot the obedience of Jesus make you righteous? Amen. Hallelujah. If I tell you, you know, the sin of Adam made you a sinner, you say amen. But when I say the obedience of Jesus makes you righteous, you say ish. Huh? So easy. So easy. Yes, that is the gospel. It's the gospel of what God has done for you, my friend. The most beautiful thing in the eyes of God is you. Is you. Not your, the one sitting next to you. You. The most beautiful thing God can look at is you. He took all of who He is, and He placed it in you, making you beautiful, making you righteous. You know, tonight I'm going to speak on this, but the word love, it's the Greek word agape. It means to be fully satisfied. You know, I've got a wife at home.
Nina ni msara kakwandu.
I love her.
Namulata.
What does it mean? It means as she is. I don't want to add anything. I don't want to take away anything. As she is, there's perfection. I love what I have. Even when she gets angry, when she's angry, she's beautiful to me. When she shouts at the children, I look in my heart. I think, oh, ain't she beautiful? When I preach something, and she comes afterwards, and she says, oh, you know what you preached there? It was not very good. I think in my heart, oh, I love her. Look how she's protecting me. That is agape. You don't care. You don't want to add anything. You don't want to take away anything. Now the Bible says the love of God for you is called agape love. He loves you with a perfect love. Because when he looks at you, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he finds perfection in you.
Amen.
He doesn't want to take anything away. He doesn't want to add anything. When he looks at you, he says, I'm satisfied. When he looks at you, he sees beauty. You made me, maybe you say, but I've got mistakes. God doesn't worry about those things. He's looking deeper. He looks at the value inside. He looks at when Jesus died, which vessel so beautifully said, that seed died in the ground. It brought a plant. And the seed of that plant looks just like the seed that was planted.
Amen.
Amen. The one who died, Jesus, the fruit it brought was you.
Amen.
And you look just like him.
Amen.
No difference. When God looks at Jesus, he doesn't want to change anything. He says, oh, I'm satisfied. When he looks at you, he sees exactly the same as Jesus. He says, I'm satisfied. That is the work of Jesus Christ. To make you, God satisfied with you. Amen.
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 So take yourself like this. Give yourself a hug. Take yourself. Yes. Hug yourself. Say, I am loved of God. With a great love. He's satisfied with me. I am beautiful. I am righteous. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I stretch my hands over these people. I declare your gospel over them, of no condemnation, of you have made them perfect in the cross. Thank you, my God. in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, if you have never accepted Jesus in your life, many times people don't accept Jesus. For the gospel that is preached to them is you must stop your sins. The gospel I preach to you today is not a gospel that says leave your sin. It's a gospel that says if you can accept Jesus and what He's done, you will find your sin will leave you. You will not try to get rid of your sin. Your sin will leave you. Amen. We are not trying to get people to stop to sin. We are trying to get people to believe what Jesus has done for them. When you can believe what Christ has done for you, you find the power of God in you. Amen. Amen. And you'll find that very same seed, Jesus, living in you. Our pulpits has been filled with sin preaching. Oh, you must not be in adultery, adultery. Oh, you must bring your tithes. You must give money, money, money. All the time. Instead of preaching the free gift of righteousness, instead of preaching the nature of God inside a believer, preachers became the apostles of Moses instead of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are a disciple of Jesus. You're not a disciple of Moses. Moses has got 10 commandments. We don't have a law written on paper that we are following anymore. We've got the nature of God living in us. Without any law, we will find the life of God in us. For the being of God is written inside human flesh. The greatest representation of the resurrection of Jesus is the born-again believer. If you want to see the effect of Jesus, go and look in the mirror, my friend. Because you will see God in human flesh. When you look in the mirror, you are seeing a miracle. You are seeing God in human flesh. Because when the Holy Spirit indwells you, when you've believed on Jesus, you are looking at God in human flesh. You are not looking at some poor person living in Kalabu. No! You have got God in human flesh. Don't look at yourself. From who am I? My father is so and so. His grandfather is so and so. No, Paul said, God decided to separate me from my mother's womb. My descent is not human anymore. I am born from God. I'm a son of God. I'm God in human flesh. My brother is Jesus. My Father is God Almighty. And the Spirit of God is in me. That is who you are. Maybe your sins wants to tell you something else. Your sin is just lying to you. What God says about you is the truth. You became the righteousness of God, my friend. The reason why we do many wrong things is because the focus is on our works and not on who we are. If I can come to you today and bring you a document from the United Kingdom, telling you, you know,
Prince Charles
is actually your father. And I can prove it. Do you think you're still going to walk the way you walk today? No, you will walk like a prince. You will know you've got an inheritance in the UK. You will walk like Prince Charles is your father. Isn't it? So I want to tell you, God is your father. Amen. We're not trying to become godly. God made you godly. That is the gospel for this Western province. And we are not here to beat around the bush. We're not here to please man. We're not here to please a religious system. This message of freedom will kill a religious system and bring freedom to every person. The drunkard in the bar has got the same value as Jesus Christ. For when God came into human being, He represented that drunkard. Obeyed on behalf of the drunkard. Died on behalf of the drunkard. And was resurrected on behalf of the drunkard. Showing the love of God for a fallen human race. That is the love of God for sinners. So why can we condemn a sinner? We should preach to the sinner what God has done for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the gospel that we all need. What Basil preached beautifully about. The greatest investment God did in you. Amen.
Amen.
For you are valuable to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen.